this day you will die.
A voice said to Sandy Fry, this day you will die. Then the airplane she was on ran out of fuel. History was miraculously changed that day. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. How would you like to be on a jet airplane, find out you're out of fuel over a large body of water? No fun. Sandy Fry, you, a few years earlier, you just happened, we have a Hebrew word, besheret, it just was meant to be, that you watch on television about airplanes that crash. What did you feel after you saw that program?
Well, I saw the program and it showed, you know, simulation of people melting in their seats and so forth. And from that point on, I had this gripping fear to fly.
Did they show planes going into water and crashing?
They showed that, yes. So I knew.
What happens when a plane goes into water?
Oh, when it goes in the water, it is not a water landing. It is a crash, and the majority of the time, all the people die. And I knew that from watching this show.
So what was your thinking about getting on an airplane in general after seeing that show?
I wasn't real thrilled, but I did it.
Well, why did you? This particular, was it May 14th, 1996? 96.
Yes.
So why did you?
Well, my husband and I were celebrating our 15th wedding anniversary. We had some dear friends with us, Doris and Ken Fraser. They were celebrating their 20th. And they talked me into flying. I wanted to take a cruise. And they said, no, if we fly, we'll get there faster. That way we'll be able to enjoy ourselves and so forth. So I agreed,
But the day before, what was going on inside of here?
Well, the day before that we took off, all of a sudden this thought came to me out of the blue. The thing that you greatly feared is going to come upon you. And I believe God's word. And so I believe that that was Satan, because Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what God's word says. So I began to come against Satan with that thought that he was putting in my mind. And I said, no, Satan, that will not happen in the name of Jesus. And so I just took authority over that and then continued on.
And how about you, Alan? What was going on inside of you? Were you afraid of flying at all?
I've never had a fear of flying. I have to fly often as a part of my work. So that's something I've never had to deal with. I've always helped her when she is fearful.
So Sandy, you're getting on the plane and you happen to look at your, I guess maybe your passport. What happened?
Well, I have my birth certificate with me.
Okay.
To go into Cancun. And I was just sitting there reading my birth certificate. Sandra Jean Robertson, born February 10th, 1959. And immediately a thought came into my mind and died this day, May 14th, 1996. And again, I knew that that was Satan putting that evil thought in my head. And so I began to say God's word. And I said to Satan, I cast down that evil imagination. And I take captive every thought to make it obedient to God's word. So from that point on, I just continued enjoying the flight.
When was the first time either of you had any trepidation or any concern something was going wrong on that flight?
Well, Sid, it was an hour and a half flight from Orlando, Florida to Cancun, Mexico, right straight across the Gulf of Mexico. And we had already been into the flight 2 hours, and the pilot had been circling for 45 minutes. And I thought that was unusual. Normally, if you are over a body of water as big as the Gulf of Mexico. You get close to the land, close to the airport, before you might circle waiting to go into the airport. So I asked a steward what was happening, and they hem and hawed and didn't have a clear explanation, so I thought something was up at that point.
Sandy, were you aware? Or I assume you didn't tell Sandy this, or did you?
We did, because I asked the steward what was going on. Of course, she was right there.
So, fear coming on you at all?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I didn't think a thing about it, because they said the delay is air traffic.
Right.
I just assumed that that's what it was at that point.
What happened next?
Well, within 5 minutes, a very shaken steward came on and stood in front of us. There was about 42 people on board. And he could hardly get the words out because he knew what situation we were in. By that time, we were 2 hours into the flight, and we didn't have enough fuel to make it to land. So he explained that to us and said that we needed to prepare for a water landing. Of course, we knew that that meant we were going to crash and break up.
But Sandy, that documentary you saw a few years earlier, what kind of pictures were you imagining when they said that water landing?
Well, first of all, when they proclaimed that emergency, at first you just sit there thinking, did I hear them right? And then suddenly it hits you, yes, this is what they've said. And my first response was, I looked over at my friend who was across the aisle from me. She had tears welling up in her eyes. And suddenly the confidence that is from God came on me. That's the only way I can explain it. I got actually mad at Satan and what he was trying to do. And I looked at her and I said, no, we are not going in the water. Furthermore, we will be in church on Sunday giving our testimony to the glory and saving power of Jesus Christ.
Now, did you say it that strong?
I did.
That's strong.
Yes, I did.
It's easy to say that now,
yep.
But I mean, you're about ready to crash. You've seen videos of when you crash, the whole thing gets destroyed, and you said that.
Yes, I did. I did.
What's going on in the plane with the other passengers?
Panic, but they didn't start screaming. It was as though they were in shock. And it wasn't till later that people began to cry. But we just sat back there, and it was God's boldness that came over myself and my husband. I took my Bible at that point, went over to my friend, laid it in her lap, and I read out of God's Word in Psalms 91. And it talks about how that the Lord, when you dwell in that secret place, in close, intimate friendship with God, how that He wants to protect you.
You know something? She really believes that. But more important, what happens to the plane? We'll be right back after this word. Hello, YouTube. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I know no one of you went away, because here I've got the Fries. They're on an airplane. They're going on a anniversary. It's supposed to be fun. Instead, they're running out of fuel. They've got to make a crash landing into the Gulf of Mexico. Not what they wanted. And Sandy looks at her friend, and her friend, another couple that were going with them, what did you say to them?
I said to her, no, we are not going in the water. We are going on dry land. And furthermore, we will be in church on Sunday giving our testimony to the glory and saving power of Jesus Christ.
Now, were you just saying that because you wanted to hear that? Why were you saying that?
I said it because I believed it with all of my heart. I had I had no doubt in my mind that that was what was going to happen.
Sid, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So at that point, death was trying to take that situation and rule that situation and over that whole plane. In fact, 42 people's lives were at stake, and plus the pilot and so on. So we knew we had to do something. The first thing that we knew we should do is proclaim life and say, no, we are not going to crash into the water.
But what about what the steward or stewardesses are saying, the people all around you? Doesn't this have any influence, Sandy?
Well, actually, I was ignoring them because I had had fear with flying and with other things in my life. I actually put my fingers in my ears like this when the stewardess started to give the emergency procedures and everything. I didn't want to hear what she had to say. I wanted to keep my focus on what God's Word said.
But wait, Alan, didn't you want your wife to hear so she could brace herself for such a crash?
Yeah, I did.
So what are you doing with your wife going like this?
Well, I told her, honey, you need to listen because there will come a time you'll need to do what they're saying.
So were you? What did you do?
I went like this.
No.
Yeah.
She didn't want fear to take advantage
of that.
That's
right. I knew that if I did listen, that would cause that fear to come in. And I was feeling the confidence of God, and I wanted to remain that way.
So beyond having your fingers in your ears, what else were you two doing?
Well, at that point, we had prayed with our friends, and we prayed out loud so that the whole plane could hear us. And that had a calming effect on the whole plane. They became quiet and listened to what we were praying. And we read Psalm 91 out of the Bible, and they wanted to hear that too. They were...
Paraphrase what they were hearing. What does Psalm 91 say?
The favorite part of Psalm 91 is verse 14 through 16, where it says that the Lord will honor those that love Him and rescue them and give them long life. In fact, the word is satisfy, Sid. Satisfy them with long life and show them His salvation. And we wanted that long life that day. That's what we were concerned about.
So did you actually have an effect of calming these? I mean, these people are preparing for death.
There's no doubt we did, because they had begun to cry. Imagine if you're in that situation, you start to think about your family, your friends, your children. We have three children. Those mental images started going through our mind. And the only way that we could deal with that was to speak God's Word to that situation.
What else were you doing?
Well, we had just learned a song at church the week before, and that just fell on my heart, and I just started singing it. And that's the whole...
Sandy, that's not very logical. You started singing as the plane is going down into the water.
Yes.
And you didn't have your ears plugged when you were singing
that. No.
I mean, just picture it. Do you mind if I put you two on the spot? Well, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Would you two sing a little bit of that song for me right now?
Sure. Okay. Sure. Jesus, You are so good. Jesus, You are so good. There's nothing to fear, 'cause I'm here in Your presence. Jesus, You are so good.
You're singing like that.
Absolutely.
As people are going down into the water.
Oh, yeah. They,
you know, we have a Hebrew word. It's called meshugana. It's called crazy.
Yeah, I know.
But you were just crazy enough to believe you would be supernaturally helped. So now, what's going on with the fuel about now?
Well, it had run out.
And you're still singing.
Yeah.
You got your ears plugged.
That's right.
And the fuel's run out. I mean, these people really believe.
2 hours was gone when he announced the emergency. Now another half hour had gone. And we heard the engine shut off, and all there was wind noise. And we found out later that it takes 140 miles per hour speed to keep a DC-9 jet in the air. 140 miles an hour is pretty fast. So you have to keep tipping the nose down if you don't have engines. And we felt the plane just tipping. So we pretty soon we're on a steep incline to keep in the air. And we're saying, God, we just believe that your angels are going to be sent to rescue this plane, that the tower control people will have the wisdom to instruct the pilot the way that should be instructed, that no matter what physics says,
Alan,
this plane is staying up in the air.
You're pretty calm right now. How calm were you telling this to God? How calmly were you doing that?
I got to tell you, to be honest, there were times that those mental images of my family came into my mind, and I had to deal with that. You have to refuse to think about that and refuse to deal with the fear that would try to come in at that moment. And so I would shut that out and deal with the situation at hand, because I really
felt... Now, the situation at hand is pretty bad. We'll be right back after this word. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Oy vey. It's Hebrew. You know what it means. Oy vey. How would you like to be on a jet over the Gulf of Mexico and you're about ready to crash into the water and you've already seen some video footage that when you crash, that's it, it's curtains. Now, back to the fries. Okay, you're about ready to get fried. it's joking now, but it wasn't at the time. So you're going down. Well, as a matter of fact, what were the last words the flight attendant said over the loudspeaker that you remember?
Well, he said that we were going to land in the water. Of course, we knew what that meant.
No, but she said you weren't going to. I remember that.
We knew what circumstances said, that typically you break up and people die. We were proclaiming life over that situation. And the last thing the steward said was, we got to prepare you with all these emergency routines. And so we were going through the formality of that.
How do you know that you were literally out of fuel? How do you know that?
The head of the FAA in Orlando came in and he said that we were out of fuel. Of course, we learned that later on. But the engines went off. We heard the engine shut down and all you hear is wind noise. DC-9s, we learned later on, you need 140 miles per hour airspeed to stay in the air. And as a result of needing that airspeed, no engines, no propulsion forward, you have to tip the nose down. So we kept filling the plane tip down to maintain airspeed.
And there was something going on as far as the communication between the airplane and the control tower. What was happening?
The background, all of this background we learned later on, the reason why we were out of fuel to begin with was the pilot had taken off and set the autopilot, as normally most pilots do, and the autopilot follows a grid to fly the plane on. And it had failed and not picked up a junction off of the coast of Florida at which it should turn, and we went straight instead of turning. The pilot discovered this too late, and by that time we were off of the radar screen for the Orlando, Florida International Airport. He was out of range for the communications, and the only communications he could make was with the cruise ships down below in the Gulf of Mexico, and that's why he was circling to begin with.
Okay, you're going down, prepare for landing. Right. Sandy, what are you doing? You got your hands, your fingers in your ears, and you're singing? What else? What did you tell her to do?
Well, we were praising God because we know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we were speaking to that situation so that the circumstances would change.
Yes, but how did you prepare for a crash landing in the water?
Well, the obvious thing is that people have heard it before. You grab your ankles and put your head in between your legs to try to protect yourself. And as we came in to land, we finally saw land about 30 minutes after the jet engines had been turned off or went off because there was no more fuel. We were told to get into that emergency position. And at that point, we found out later that the airport control tower had been asked by the pilot to put it into the water right there at the beach. He was afraid that as we came into land, we were so low, we were at treetop level at that point, that people would die as a result of our crashing into homes.
But tell me what you did. How did you prepare for the landing?
Well, I wasn't paying attention. So my husband said to me, "Sandy, get in the crash position." So I took my Bible and I stuck it under my feet.
That's the crash position?
Well, it was for me. I took God's word, which I had been saying because I knew God's promises were true. And it was just something that came to my mind. I put it under my feet and I said, "Okay, God, I'm standing on your word." I grabbed my ankles, put my head in my lap, and just began to sing, just kept on singing.
What happened?
Well, at that point, we were about treetop level in the airport. We could see the airport, and we're just rejoicing. We're saying, "Thank you, Lord. You've got us to land. Now get us to the airport." And the plane banked, and as soon as it banked, it lost airspeed, so it came down. And we crashed about 250 yards in front of the airport strip, the landing strip. And of course, crash of that magnitude, a DC-9 is a very large jet, and it came down and very powerfully just bounced and dug a groove into the land, hit the airstrip. The front nose gear and all the wheels were broken out from under it, so it was sheet metal to concrete at that point, sparks flying everywhere. Thank God we were out of fuel, because it could have exploded. The right wing went into the ground at that point and spun us off into a field to the right, where we ground to a halt. And then we just rejoiced. We got off that plane thanking God that He had performed a miracle in our lives, and we had survived that plane ride that was supposed to have ended up in the ocean. God miraculously kept that plane in the air to get us to land and safely there.
Sandy,
yes.
When you're on the ground and you look at a plane going, flying in the sky, hanging by nothing, what do you think? What's going on in your mind?
Every time I see a jet now, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for satisfying me with long life and showing me your awesome salvation."
How would you like to have that kind of confidence? I mean, that's not positive thinking. I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road when your plane is going down, out of gas, and it finally does land, not in the water, but and the wing falls off, and you get out unscathed, unscratched, nothing wrong with you. How would you like to have that confidence? That confidence can only come not from hearing a story like that. It doesn't do you any good, but from you knowing God for yourself. Not a religious type of situation, not necessarily going to church, and not necessarily saying religious things, but knowing Him for yourself. How do you know Him? You do business with Him in honesty and integrity. You say, "God, I have committed many sins against you, for which I'm so sorry. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and by His blood, my sins are washed away. Live inside of me. Be real. You be real to God, and God will be real to you." I can feel His presence coming on you right now. That's the same presence of peace they experienced.